Well, it's finally race week, and this time round one will be taking place in Bahrain. Welcome to the fourth episode of Formula Talk, and we're here to preview the Bahrain Grand Prix for F2 and F3, and also discuss about F1 Academy. My name is Sophia, and joining with me is the lovely Tom Downey. Hello.
Hello. I'm not sure about lovely, but hello.
How are you?
Not too bad, my friend. How are you?
Can't complain, can't complain. It's race week. I literally can't
I'm
complain.
excited. Yeah.
So excited. But first, if you enjoyed this podcast, we would love it if you would take five to leave us a five-star rating on Spotify or a five-star review on Apple Podcasts. And if you're one of the 72% of people who have not yet subscribed to the channel, please consider helping us out with a like, subscribe, and share. So let's get into it. We're going to kick it off with F3, and we're going to discuss a little bit about the Bahrain circuit and discuss about the past winners and also give us kind of our predictions as well. It's a big different lineup compared to last season. Pretty much all the people that we're going to be mentioning aren't in F3 anymore. They're either in F2 or in some other discipline of racing now. So it's anybody's up for game kind of thing. So like Formula One, F2 and F3 also does follow the same circuit in Bahrain. However, the first time F3 actually raced was last season, and the circuit length is 5.412 kilometers. The fastest lap was given to Franco Colapinto last season with a 146.2, purely also because that was the first qualifying session ever at the track. But we'll discuss that a bit later about qualifying. In F2 and F3, there is the feature race and the sprint race. So for the sprint race, which takes place on the Saturday, that will be 20 laps. And for the feature race, that is 23 laps. Now, 3 laps might not sound like a big difference, but it's all for game. Like, there's been so many changes towards the end, especially if we have any red flags or any collisions. Not that we don't want collisions, but there is potential with that many cars on the grid. Now, we're going to discuss the podiums as well. Most of these names will be not racing in F3 this season. A lot of them have moved to F2 or onto other motor disciplines. But first, let's discuss qualifying that took place last season. And here's Tom for it.
Yes, thank you, Sophia. So last year, we obviously had qualifying. The grid's got to set itself somehow, and qualifying for F3 and also F2, which we'll get into in a bit, follows a slightly different format to F1. So in F1, obviously you have the three stages of knockout where you progress through each session. In F3, we have a half-hour window where all drivers will have half an hour to complete as many or as few laps as they please. Now, bear in mind that each driver will have to complete at least one out lap, a hot lap, and then a cool down come in lap. Some drivers may even perform two out laps, depending on if they feel ready or if they encounter traffic or something. So in qualifying last year, taking pole position was Franco Colapinto for Van Amersfoort Racing. And as Sophia mentioned, he also set the track record time, which was a 146.2. He also went through the speed trap at 183 kilometers an hour. Now, being a Brit, we use miles per hour, so I couldn't tell you what that is. He also, this is a rule unique to F3 and F2 compared to F1, he also took a point for getting pole position. So if anybody ever says to you, oh, well, point, points don't win Saturday or whatever, tell them, ab-ab-ab-ab-ab, F3, you get a point for pole. So yes, so please, so use that information wisely. So once the order is set in qualifying, the top 12 actually get reversed for the sprint race. So although Franco Colapinto took pole in the qualifying session, he actually started a sprint race in P12. And that means that Zach O'Sullivan, who finished P12 in qualifying, actually started the sprint race on pole, technically. So try and get your head around that one, folks. It's a bit, it might seem a bit backwards, but it's also good to, it mixes up the grid a bit, and especially as it's a spec series, it sometimes does encourage good racing. Although with some of the F3 drivers, they don't need any encouragement to go wheel to wheel, I think it's fair to say. Now, you're probably thinking, well, hang on a minute. Colo Pinto, he was on pole. So is he going to start a race on pole or is he just going to get done over? No, 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 no. The main race, if you like, or the feature race, that is the grid which has been set by qualifying. Even though Colo Pinto took pole, he still starts the feature race on pole. It's not a case of he gets awarded pole position and then gets told that actually you can't do anything with it and you get put right in the midfield. It's not that. So pole position is still awarded. He goes down as a pole sitter, and that means that he starts the feature race early on a Sunday morning on pole position. And I'm going to hand you back to Sophia, where we're going to look at some bits around F2. And I'm going to hand you back to Sophia, where we're going to talk about the podiums.
Thank you. So with the sprint, we're just going to bound off the podium. So as mentioned, Zach O'Sullivan was starting on pole, followed with Ollie Bearman. However, Zach O'Sullivan did not finish on podium, but it was Isaac Hajar, who will be racing in F2 this season, who took the top spot. Followed by him is Ollie Bearman, again, will be racing in F2 this season. And rounding up the podium is Alex Somalia with MP Motorsport. Now, he's not racing or confirmed racing for F2 and F3. We still have that one seat available for F3 that's still waiting to be confirmed for High Tech, even as of today, February 28th, 2 days before free practice starting. So who knows? He might be on the grid. And then, as mentioned, qualifying sets the grid for the feature race, which is 23 laps. And the winner of the feature race was the F3 world champion, Victor Martins. He took first place, followed by Arthur Leclerc. And then rounding up the podium with Grégoire Saucy. Now, Grégoire is back in F3 this season, and he actually did quite well in testing, taking some of the top positions in testing. Mind you, we can't take testing as it is. Look how it is in F1 as well. It's pretty much the same in F2 and F3. Sandbagging, testing out different discussions, especially in F3 where there's a lot of rookies. Some of the older drivers, I say older, they're only in like their 20s or like early, like late teens. But some of them that have had more experience in these cars probably would have finished a lot higher compared to some of the rookies. And Grégoire is a great example. He's a great driver, but again, we don't know how it is for testing. Now, let's go for predictions, because F3 will be very difficult compared to F2 for predictions. But I think my podium for feature, not for sprint, because we're basing off of how qualifying is, because we won't know how the reverse grid is. But for feature, I think I'm going to go with Grégoire Saucy, obviously, to take first place. I think Gabriel Mini, one of the rookies who was the runner-up in Freca last season, I think he will take P2. And then my last one, let's go Oliver Guthrie, another rookie who was a Formula 2022 champion. I think that will be my podium for the first race of the season. What about you, Tom?
That is quite an interesting podium. It's going to be very different from mine. And that's one of the things I do like about F3, actually, is, you know, anybody can stand on any of the steps. So I think my podium for P1, I think we're going to see Zach O'Sullivan on the top step. You know, I think he showed a bit last season, and you know, he's not an out and out rookie anymore. You know, so I think he'll be one to keep an eye on. P2, I'm going to say last year's pole sitter, Colo Pinto. He goes quite well around here, as evidenced by pole position last year. Obviously, got to keep his nose clean. And then P3, I'm actually going to say Colo Pinto's teammate, Johnny Edgar. I have faith. It might be blind faith. It might be blind hope. Who knows? But that's what I'm going with.
Johnny's a good driver as well. Obviously, he did take a little bit of time off during the season in 2022, but I think he's coming back better than ever. He was very quiet in testing, though, however. But again, can't take too much on it for testing.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm almost sort of like taking, not taking solace, but sort of like taking a bit of, you know, taking a bit of impetus from the drivers who were quite quiet because they just pounded round. They just, you know, they just got the laps under their belt. You know, they didn't do anything too sort of showy. They just got on with it. And I think in a grid that's so tightly contested like F3 and with some rather, shall we say, hot-headed drivers, because we do see that a lot, especially in the junior series. I think if Eke can just stay out of trouble effectively, it's like, you know, if people start squabbling and scrapping going into turn 1, 2, 3 at Bahrain, you know, that nice right, left, right at the start, he can just do what I do on FN22, just leave all the AI start scrapping to go dunk around the outside and pick up some positions. Who knows, eh?
Okay. What about bowl prediction? Do you want to go for those ones now, following how Grid Talk is?
Yeah, go on. Yeah. Okay.
It's yours. So you go first.
My bold prediction, and this is a very bold prediction for F3, every single car that enters is going to finish.
Okay, because that's totally different from mine, because I'm saying how many DNFs there might be.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Very drastic in our predictions. Okay, so you think there's going to be no DNFs at all?
I didn't say I think.
Your prediction.
Yeah.
You're predicting.
Yeah.
Okay. A lot of rookies on the grid, so that's why I'm going with my one. I think there's going to be 4 DNFs, but I don't think all of them are due to crashes. I think some of them will be, like, mechanical failures as well. I'm not obviously wanting crashes, but I do think with some of the rookies, and I mean, I am blasting on the rookies, but obviously we could have more experienced drivers as well doing the same thing. I think there might be some car problems for some of the teams. And so that's what I'm saying, 4 DNFs.
I mean, that's quite low for F3. If we are going to get DNFs, I think we're going to get probably about half the blinking grid. You know, whether they overheat or whether they just pile into each other, either way, I'm just looking forward to it.
I'm so ready for this season. Like,
yeah.
I say this all the time, F3 and F2 like make things more interesting than F1 on some of these races, like, because there's so many cars, they're all vying to try to get into F1. They're willing to get their elbows out, they're willing to go past the limit, push the limit, overtake where it's possible, even overtaking where normally it has been possible in F1 cars. Obviously, these cars are a lot smaller as well and lesser power than F1. So there is more opportunities for that. So I'm really excited. But let's go on to F2. Let's preview the F2 Bahrain one. Once again, same amount of circuit length, 5.412 kilometers. They've actually been racing every year in Bahrain since the inception back in 2017. Now, again, sprint race. Shorter amount, so there's only 23 laps, which is the same amount as the feature race in F3, but the feature race is actually 32. Now, that's a big difference as well. There's going to be a lot of changes in that last couple laps. I know that for sure, because that's always been the case in every single round in F2. Those last couple laps, especially if there's any issues or we have cautions, anything can change. The fastest lap actually dates back to 2017, and it is F1 Ferrari driver Charles Leclerc time with a 138.9. So, wow, like how much of a difference? That's quite a big difference from F3. That's at least, what, 9 seconds difference? Almost, yeah, nearly 10-second difference. Yeah, 8 seconds difference between the fastest lap in F3 to the fastest lap in F2. Wow, big change.
Yeah, that is quite the step up. And bearing in mind, I do believe the F3 cars had DRS as well last year, because obviously they didn't used to when the F2 cars did for a while.
Yeah, definitely. So, like how we did with F3, let's look at the qualifying. Now, it's unlike F3, which is the top 12, it's the top 10 that's reversed. So this is following a little bit in Formula One when they do for the sprint. But again, your position in sprint does not determine your grid position for feature, which again, I think is probably the best thing, because the person that was awarded pole should get pole for the actual race, unlike how it is with F1, with the sprint races that are taking place in F1 this season, and how we saw in last season. So, the top person is also returning to F2, and he's also the Alpine reserve driver of Jack Doohan. He had a fastest time of a 1:40, so not that far off from Charles, but still 2 seconds off. So he will start at the top on for the feature, but let's discuss about sprint, because there's some big names into the sprint races and the podium from last season at Bahrain. So I'm going to pass it off to Tom.
Yes, thank you, Sophia. Let's have a quick look at the sprint results from last year. So it was Felipe Drugovich who was on pole for the sprint. However, he finished the race in P5. So, you know, perhaps not the start he was looking for. And the race was won by the man who started P2, and that was Richard Vershaw. And joining him on the podium last season, a name which we heard quite a lot about, was Johan Zarruvala of Prema Racing, obviously back this season. And joining him is a fellow Red Bull alumni, they certainly were at the time, I believe he still is, Liam Lawson of Carlin, who, yes, of course he's Red Bull alumni because he was doing a hill climb in Australia and one of the V8 Red Bulls a couple of weeks ago. So yeah, so that was your top three. As I mentioned, Drugovich was P5. Some of the notable names, I'll just round out the top 10 quickly. So we had Ralph Boschong of Campos in P4. We had the latest Williams driver in F1, Logan Sargeant. He was P6 in the Carlin. We had the resident Twitch streamer, Yuri Vips, in P7. Sophia's looking at me because she's thinking, what on earth are you going to say? I'm not going to say anything. You know, Yuri Vips, who was former Red Bull alumni before he was unceremoniously dumped, and everybody knows why. We had yet another Red Bull alumni driver in Amuyu Iwasa, who was racing for Dams. And then rounding out the top 10, we had Dennis Hauger in P9 and Jack Doohan in P10. So Doohan finished where he started, which in F2 is actually a lot more of an achievement than you think it is, because everybody seems hell-bent on driving into each other. Now I'll pass you back to Sophia, where we'll have a quick look at the feature race.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, how we're going to discuss the feature race is very different to what the lineup was for the qualifying. So as mentioned, Jack Doohan was starting on pole, followed by Thierry Pourchaire, who would be on the front row with him, and then Yuri Vips and Logan Sargeant for the top two rows. However, in the feature race, bit of a change. And it was actually Thierry Pourchaire who topped the podium, followed by Liam Lawson and then Yuri Vips to round out the podium. Now, Thierry is actually returning to F2, and he actually had a great testing season as well. He finished, I think, 3 out of the 6 sessions at the top of the leaderboard. So definitely a driver to look out for in this new season. I'll finish off with the top 10. Then we have Ralph Boschong finishing P4. Marcus Armstrong, a name that we've not heard for a while, who's going to be racing in IndyCar this season, finishing P5. The F2 world champion, Felipe Drugovich, finishing P6, followed by the F1 Williams driver, Logan Sargeant, in P7. Roy Nissany in P8. And then Jake Hughes, who is racing in Formula E for McLaren, P9. And then Jack Doohan, who started on pole, finishing 10th. Again, quite similar to how it was in the sprint, finishing in 10th again. However, he finished where he started in the sprint, not so much in the feature. But that's the preview for the F2 and F3 for Bahrain. It all starts on Friday, where we have both free practice sessions, just one session each, and then we both have a qualifying session of 30 minutes on the Friday as well. Saturday, early start for those that live in the UK to watch the race for the sprint races, because they are normally done before or in between. Yeah, done, I think, before the free practice for Formula One. God, double check my times on that. And then the feature race as well, another early morning. I think it's probably about 7 a.m. UK time. So make sure you have your coffee ready for that if you are to watch it. I definitely will be.
Yeah, and it's going to be quite an early start for if you do want to watch the junior series. If you think of it as good practice for the flyaway races like Japan and Australia, because those are obviously, if you're UK or Europe based like some of us, it can be an early start, but it's also a good chance for those of our fellow F1 Chronicle members who live in other time zones, and when we complain about two races a year, they get 20 races a year. So yes, let's. So shall we have critical some predictions for F2?
Ooh, why not? Let's. I feel like this is going to be even more because it's so harder, I think, because there's so many great drivers. I mean, F3 has great drivers as well. I think for podium. I think taking P1 will be Teo Porcher.
Okay.
I think just because I'm always going to back this person up because I am a huge fan of them. And if they are listening, hi, big fan. I think Zane Maloney will take P2. And then for P3, oh, this is going to be hard. I don't know.
It's wide open for F2, isn't it?
It's so many. Like, just looking at these names, it's just like, oh my god, I can't even choose. I think Jack Doohan. Let's go, because he did have a good season last season, obviously finishing on in the points for both feature and sprint, and taking pole in the qualifying. Yep. So Teo, Zane, Jack. That's my top three.
You do surprise me. I wouldn't expect anything less. You're going to back your fellow Bermuda driver.
I mean, he's from Barbados.
Oh, for God's sake.
You do this every time.
Do you know what? I thought I was right then. I really thought I was
Bermuda,
right.
Bermuda, Bahamas, Barbados, Barbuda. We all get confused. I understand. I do get it all the time.
Don't even add Barbuda into this, because I'm just going to get even more confused. Never mind our poor listeners. But yeah, okay. But either way, I know you've got a big soft spot for him. But my podium, I'm gonna agree with P1. I think it would be Teo Porcher. He showed quite a lot last season, and I think now that he's already had a year in F2, he's sort of bedded in a bit more. Understand isn't the right word, but he's more familiar with the cars, and he's more familiar with, the additional efforts, if you like, required, obviously the physical sort of force or physical impact it has as a driver. For P2, I am going to say a name who cropped up a fair bit last year. I'm going to say Johan de Ruvela, P2. Because he won a couple of races last year. He was fairly quick and he was in the title fight. And P3, I'm going to go a little bit left field, and I'm going to say Frederik Vesti. Mercedes have backed him for a reason, so.
Okay. And a bold prediction?
Roy Nassani doesn't bin it.
He's got a new team anyway.
I know. Well, he's basically like playing bingo with all the teams to see all the teams he can drive for,
or the Infinity Stones.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, he's with PHM Racing by Giroux, so obviously that's a newish team taking over from Giroux from previous seasons. We'll see.
Yeah, but it's Nassani. Yeah, for our listeners, that's all you need to know.
Fair enough. Okay. I think all the rookies will get points in the future. So that is Arthur Leclerc, Isaac Hadjar, Jack Crawford, Ollie Bearman, Victor Martins, and Zane Maloney. And Brad Benavides. And Roman Stanek and Juan. Well, I can't really say. Is Juan Manuel Correa a rookie? I mean, he has been in F3.
I wouldn't consider him a rookie.
I wouldn't, though. And then also Christian Manny as well. So, to be fair, I feel like my podium has been absolutely wrecked now with the amount of rookies I'm saying. Maybe I'm going to backtrack. I'm going to say half of the rookies will get points in the feature race. It's only 10 spots, and there's, like, I think, 9 rookies that are on the grid this season. So,
I was going to say, I think you're running out of positions.
Yeah. So, five of the rookies will get points. I'm not saying which ones, though. But obviously Zane will, because I want him to be on podium.
Of course.
Got to back the islands. Have to.
Yeah. All the ones beginning with B.
Yeah. Right. So, F1 Academy. We've not spoken about this much because information has just been coming out like crazy about this. But we do have more information. We have some drivers confirmed now as well. So we're just going to explain for the last bit of this podcast what the F1 Academy is, how the structure of the racing is going to be like, who are the teams, the calendar, and some of the drivers confirmed. And also discuss about the difference between F1 Academy and W Series as well, because there's a lot to discuss about this new piloted program that is meant to feed from F1 Academy to F3, to F2, to F1. So it's a fourth step. I guess it's on par with Formula 4, but they don't really say it is. But it is quite equal, I'm assuming.
Yeah, so the car spec and the sort of estimated speed, if you like, they all sit around the same. They sit sort of like alongside, Formula 4. So you're in the right area. But if we just have a quick look at the calendar for the F1 Academy, so it will feature 7 different circuits. Now, there are multiple races at each circuit, which we'll go into in more detail in a moment. But the season kicks off on the weekend of the 28th of April. So we still have, 2 months to the day of recording. Where the first weekend of racing will be at one of my favourite circuits on the track. It's not Monaco, quite the opposite. It is the Red Bull Ring, Spielberg in Austria. So we have the weekend of the 28th to the 29th there. We then have the second weekend, or round two, if you like, taking place at the Valencia, not the street circuit, which has been abandoned, but Valencia... the permanent circuit, I believe it's called Valencia Motorsport Park. I can't remember the exact name. That's on the weekend of the 5th to the 7th of May. Following that, we have the weekend of the 19th to the 21st of May, again in Spain, this time at Circuit de Catalunya in Barcelona. Now, just very quickly, on the topic of Barcelona, obviously F1 have announced that they are removing the final chicane. So from 2023 onwards, F1 will cut out that horrible last chicane at Barcelona, and they will just run their lovely double right-hander. On the track map that's on the graphic for F1 Academy, that has the chicane in the final sector in it. I wonder, and I'm just purely speculating, if F1 Academy will run without that final chicane. We don't know yet. We don't have any information. That's something I've just picked up on looking at this image. This image was probably generated quite a while before F1 said they were going to be removing that last chicane. So who knows? I'm just speculating. But moving on from that, we have on the weekend of the 23rd to the 25th of June, we go to Zandvoort, where it is just full of orange smoke. So that will be interesting. Then on the weekend of the 7th to the 9th of July, we are at Monza. Obviously, everybody knows Monza. That's going to be exciting. The penultimate round then, the last weekend of July, the 29th to the 30th, of the 29th to the 30th, I should say, we are at Le Castellet, aka Circuit Paul Ricard. We do have the chicane in the middle of the straight, so it's not just hell for leather all the way down, but it is the full F1 layout. And then last but by no means least, and I would say my second favourite circuit on this list, it is on the F1 weekend. And we are at Circuit of the Americas in Austin. So that is the 20th to the 22nd of October. So the season runs from the last weekend of April to the one of the middle weekends of October. There is no racing from the last weekend of July, so there is quite an extended break in between round 6 and round 7. The championship may be wrapped up by then. We don't know. So, you know, it could be all to play for. But I would just push it back to Sophia quickly, where we'll have a look through the weekend format.
Yeah, so we finally have information. As Tom has mentioned, there's some weekends where it's Friday to Sunday, and then we have some weekends where it's only Saturday and Sunday. So how the sessions will go is there's two free practices, both 40 minutes, and then following that, we'll go into qualifying session one, which is 15 minutes. That qualifying session will go into the race one and race two. Race one is 30 minutes plus one lap, so W Series format. They don't do by the amount of laps. I feel that that shouldn't happen because of red flags and cautions. It should be just the total amount of laps, but anyway. Race two will be 20 minutes plus one lap. And then qualifying session two, another 15-minute qualifying that will take place on the second day of racing. And then race three, which will be 30 minutes and one lap. Now, there is points awarded for qualifying, like how F2 and F3 are. In both qualifying sessions, 2 points will be awarded for pole position. How the grid is determined by qualifying is race one, the grid will be set by the fastest qualifying results, so as it stands. However, in race two, which is the short amount of time, it is the top eight that will be reversed for race two. Race three, it will be the grid set by the second qualifying results, so the second qualifying session on the second day. Points allocation. Oh my God, this is crazy to wrap my head around. So in race one and race three, they follow the same amount, and it is F1 style points, 25 for the winner, all the way down to P10 for 1 point. However, race two is a bit shortened, where it's only the top eight that get points, with a person that places first will get 10 points, followed by 8, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, all the way to 8th, which gets 1. Every single race, the fastest lap will also get 1 point. So lots of points on hand for this. So I feel like it's going to be very changing around to see who's going to win for the F1 Academy. Now, comparing it to W Series, I mean, going back to the calendar, almost every single round is the same time as an F1 race and an F2 and F3. There's one race where there's no F1 on at all. But all the other ones have something on. I think Miami overlaps, Baku overlaps with these. And obviously, Miami, we don't have F2 and F3, but obviously Baku, we do have F2, and obviously we have the sprints of F1. I hope that we will still get some screen time of these races, even though they're not in the F1 format. But I feel like they could have just timed it a lot better as well, because the teams that are taking place in F1 Academy, Carling, Hi-Tech, ART, these teams, and Prema as well, these teams are in F2 and F3, so you don't want them the same weekends of F2 and F3 as well, especially if staffing is going to be the same. I don't know. What do you think, Tom?
I think it's a bit of a not mistake, because motorsport does obviously sit in a certain window. I just think it's a shame for the drivers involved in W Series. And I know we were talking about this off air a couple of weeks ago, even before the schedules were announced properly. It's a really good opportunity for the FIA and Formula One management and everybody else involved to really promote women in motorsport. And I don't want to make this about women in motorsport. I want to make this about getting exposure for the series, because obviously a lot of people watch F1. And you know, we have social media and Liberty Media and Drive to Survive and all those kind of things to thank for that. but we don't see enough of the junior series, and especially things like, you know, WCW folded because it didn't have enough money and, you know, didn't have enough input from the FIA and, you know, didn't have enough backing, all the rest of it. And you know, occasionally you'll hear people ask, you know, oh, how come we haven't got any females, you know, driving in F1 or you know, are there any females, you know, in F2 or F3 or, you know, or people won't even know the junior series. They'll just ask about, you know, the sort of like reserve teams, or, you know, they'll be meaning the support teams or the sort of junior teams. F1 Academy is really going to be battling for airtime. And if you look at the times when the races are on, if you look at an F1 weekend, you have all the stuff at F3, which we just talked about. You have all the stuff at F2, which we've just talked about. And you have F1. Now, notwithstanding incidents, accidents, track repairs, red flags, rain, you know, Silverstone, come on, it's always going to rain at some point. You know, and as harsh as it may seem, ultimately every series gets shuffled along or has its race time shortened or its practice time shortened to make way for F1, because F1 is one that brings the most money into a weekend. And in an already contested scheduling sort of, not conflicts, but in a very already contested scheduling, you know, sort of plan, where does F1 Academy fit into that? Because all you have to do is look at Planet, you know, on Sky, for example. If I went downstairs and looked at my Sky box now, from Thursday onwards, it will just be full of, you know, Thursday will just be full of press conferences and build up. Friday we'll have all the practice, you know, we'll have F1 practice sessions, we'll have quality and practice for F2 and F3, and, you know, it's just, there's no room for F1 Academy on Sky. So where's it going to go? Because Sky hold the rights to so much stuff in the UK, and I just fear that it's going to get lost. I think the COTA round is going to bring some great exposure because it's there with the F1 circus. It's there, it's ingrained. And a circuit like COTA has the space. It has the space to host multiple support series. But not all circuits do. And I'm just concerned that it's not going to paint the picture that we deserve to see of F1 Academy. And the drivers deserve more.
Definitely. I mean, we have 7 drivers confirmed so far at the time of this recording on the 28th of February. And some of them are all ex-W Series drivers. Some of them are also F4 and regional drivers as well. We know, obviously, the first season will be a little bit of sorting out headaches and all that kind of stuff. I do understand that. I just feel like the choice of these tracks could have been better. And how the structure is, doing the time lapse. We saw in W Series last season and even previous seasons where when it's timed, we have big crashes like what happened in Spa, what happened in Miami, where it took out majority of the race time and it left the drivers pretty much only doing maybe about 5 laps out of the entire race in the 30-minute window. Like, it's not ideal. And again, the fact that it overlaps with other races, other F1 races and support series racing, it's going to fight for screen time. And I know that they can't always be with F1 and everything, but there's some big breaks that are taking place in F1, like after round 3, time it then. During the off season, time it maybe then. I don't know. Obviously, we have to take into account staff and their time off and everything as well, but just to time it a bit better, or timing it with the timings as well. If it's a flyaway like Japan, maybe do something in Europe so that you can have multiple racing throughout the day with people having the right exposure. But we'll see. We'll discuss about the drivers in another episode once the full grid is confirmed. As mentioned, there's 15 spots available for this series. 5 teams, 3 drivers each. At the moment, we only have 7 confirmed. So once the full grid is done, we'll give you a bit of a rundown, because there are some names that even I don't recognize as well. I'll probably have to do a bit of research in, but some of them off the top of my head, Bianca Bustamante, W Series driver, Formula Regional Middle East and Formula Region Asian driver as well. So that's one name. Obviously, we won't see Jamie Chadwick as she is racing in IndyCar next, which is the feeder series into IndyCar. Different kind of topic and situation about that. But yeah, that's, I'm so ready for this season. I can't wait. It's going to be a great season. Even in the off seasons, we'll still be running our weekly podcast. So make sure you like, subscribe, share, and follow, and be notified of any episodes that drop. So Formula Talk is available on YouTube, where soon episodes will be recorded live. At the moment, this is pre-recorded, but you can find all our videos on Amazon Fire, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Music, Verbal, and Pocket Cast. Just search Formula One Grid Talk, which is the main podcast series that we run. This is our support one. And you can find the back catalog of all the shows, which has previews and reactions to qualifying and race results. Please consider supporting the channel on Patreon so we can get mics, lights, and better recording equipment. And also make sure you subscribe so you're the first one to know when each new weekly episode is released. We'll be back soon with plenty more F2 and F3 content now that the season started. So excited. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you, Tom, for joining me again.
Well, thank you. Pleasure as always, Seth.
And that's goodbye for me as well. So bye.
Bye-bye.